Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Black Stock Triangle, an Arsenal podcast. My name is Sean. We're going to do socials, just in case you want to hook up there. Is hook up the wrong word? That seems bad. Let's not hook up. Let's connect. That also bad? I don't know. Find us on social media. I'm Sean. I'm at Blackstock Sean B. With me today is Alex. Alex is on Twitter at King Kinsey. Alex, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Good, good. How's it going?
No, I'm just over here being awkward on the internet, so it's fine. I think it's all right. And with us also today is Wissam, and Wissam is not on social media that he wants to connect with anybody on, so don't bother. But Wissam, how are you today?
I'm good. Yeah, I just have a few private things. Nothing public yet, so.
Yes, we definitely need to maintain our sense of privacy to avoid the podcasting celebrity culture to really catch up to us.
Right.
I don't need that myself, personally. And currently, it's not much of an issue. Mm-hmm. There's lots to talk about. It's an international break. Is this the worst international break, or is the first one in September, end of August, first of September, the worst international break? I think that's the big question. But either way, we're in one, so we've got to deal with it. But the football never stops. And if the football stops, the football talk never stops. I've got a nearly 15-year-old in my house. He's playing FIFA all the time. The football talk never, ever stops. So we've got some stuff to talk about today. We've got a Champions League quarterfinal draw to dissect a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit of April fixtures and how, for once, knock on wood, touch wood, however you say that phrase, we seem to be getting healthy at the right time instead of getting injured at the wrong time. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll delve into the fixture list a little bit, and just a tiny bit of stuff in other league news. Nottingham Forest deduction. I'd dive into that. We're going to get like ankle deep in that, because those are very complicated processes. So first, let's talk Champions League draw, quarterfinals. We didn't really get a chance to talk too much about the second Porto tie. Very relieved to get through that, but that's old news now. New news, Bayern Munich in the quarterfinals. I'll send this one to you, Alex. What was your initial reaction to the quarterfinal draw? Just sort of your basic thoughts.
I was excited but nervous. That's probably the best way I could put it, because although it is Bayern Munich, I do feel like this team is not the same Bayern Munich of years gone by, and I feel like we are a much improved Arsenal team. So there is a level of excitement within me, because I feel like we could right a wrong almost in this tie.
Oh, yeah. Everybody remembers, right? I think we've lost our last three.
Well, you see, Sean, I tend to try and forget that.
Try to block it out.
Yeah. Well, if you've got a way to do that, that's better than mine, which is incapable of blocking that out.
Did that go over your head? Do you guys get 10-2? No, I tend to forget.
I tend to. Oh, look at you! Look at you, clever.
I'm starting over. Oh my god! I'm cutting this. I can't.
Oh lord. So yeah, we blocked it out so well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I got a dog 5 feet away from me, he heard that and just groaned.
It's funny, like we've blocked it out of our psyche so much that it just went completely over. You know, it's like, yep, yeah. I don't want to remember that. Did that even happen? I don't know. I can't remember.
I'm hearing helicopters right now, you know what I mean?
Definitely a rough day. But you know, I would say it's a 100% different Arsenal team. It's nearly a 100% different Bayern team. What is it? I think Müller's still there. Anybody else?
Neuer?
Anybody
maybe?
Else there from that?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Neuer. That's probably about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's 108 years old.
Yeah, he is. Still got to give him respect, though. Still a good keeper.
Wissam, what was your initial reaction to the draw? I thought, here's the thing. When you do the group stage draw, there's all the ceremony and, you know, to do and pomp and circumstance and all this other stuff. And so whenever the draw starts, you can give yourself an hour before they actually start drawing balls out of the pots, right? And so I kind of forgot. And I was like, oh, it comes on at 7. It started at 7 where I'm at in the morning. And I was like, yeah, that's when I take the dog out. It should be fine. I'll be back at 7:45. And then like, they just immediately started. And you guys are like throwing stuff in the, WhatsApp. And I'm like getting all these notifications.
Yeah. Arsenal was first.
Oh God, what happened? I forgot.
Arsenal like, was first.
Other ones, they don't, during this draw, they don't draw it out the same way. And so I didn't get to watch it live, but Wassam, what was your initial reaction?
Arsenal was first out of the bag. And I was like, oh my God, it's already happening.
This means something.
Yeah, this definitely means something. And then Byron next. I thought it's fate. This is fate. First, you know, time on, back in the UCL in a long time. And we have to face Byron. This is just revenge tour 2024. I'm into it, honestly. I'm actually very happy about this draw. The only thing that concerns me is how we'll play in the Premier League, if how that'll affect us if we don't continue on in the UCL, but I'm actually happy for this draw quite a bit. I'm excited.
And then that brings up another piece of this draw thing, which is the halves of the draw, because once you do the quarterfinal draw, they do the semifinal draw, they do the whole thing all the way through, so you know exactly what your side of the draw is going to look like. And I would say that the consensus is that the Arsenal, Bayern, Madrid, Manchester City is would I think clearly be the toughest half of the draw, which brings us to a question of like, if you're gonna go into this process, and let's just say that your ambition is to win it, and obviously if you make the quarterfinals, your ambition is to win it. You may not, and we've already discussed on here that we don't think that this team is quite there yet and ready, but if you're going to, and you're going to say this is going to be your first Champions League or your first run in a long time, Wassam, would you rather be on the tough half of the draw? So you like, you know, run the gauntlet, nobody can say anything about how you got there. Or would you rather be like, nah, I'll just take the easiest path to the finals that you can give me? So in terms of the half of the draw that Arsenal was drawn into, how did you feel about that bit?
I think it's better if we're on the tougher half, just because a lot of people like to make excuses for us if we win anything, you know, like it doesn't matter. But if we do win, they can't say anything towards us. We definitely won. We're definitely the best team in the tournament. And because of that, yeah, I'd rather the tougher half, going through City or Real and then possibly PSG, Barcelona or Atletico at the end. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that City draw. Like that's going to be amazing. I do think Madrid may have their number, but if we beat Bayern and we face City in the UCL, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean, I want to get Alex's take on this first, because I disagree with that, but we'll get to that in a minute. Alex, would you rather go through the tough half or the quote unquote easy half? By the way, if you look at this, If you look at the quarterfinals and the quarterfinalists, there's no easy half, right? We got just as chock full of like big clubs with European pedigree as you can get in a set of quarterfinalists. There's really no, you know, there's just no like true underdog there. I mean, there are underdogs, but in terms of like pedigree and tradition and recent European success, you pretty much have pulled most of the other big teams that you could.
Yeah, I think for me, I'd rather have the easier draw to try and get to the final, because if you get to a final, anything can happen regardless of who the opposition is. You know, even if we got to the final and say it was Man City or Real Madrid, it's like, well, you know what? We're here on our day. I think we could beat a Man City or a Real Madrid. So it's like you get to that final, anything can happen. Then if you win it, then you've got the trophy and it'd be our first one. So I don't know. Although I understand where Wassam's coming from, I would have rather, you know, Borussia Dortmund or something, just because, yeah, okay. And then if we got that side of the draw, if we replace Atletico Madrid versus Borussia Dortmund, then we come up against a PSG or Barcelona, I think, yeah, we could definitely make the final. But looking at, you know, even if we do beat Bayern and we get to either face Man City or Real Madrid, oof, you know, that's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I want the easiest draw possible. I mean, and I'll tell you why. Because 5 years from now, it doesn't matter. the star on your jersey's not any smaller. It's not a different color. The trophy's not any smaller. Your name's not engraved on there any smaller. You know, nothing. They don't. I don't know how well this or how prevalent the sports cliche is, but they don't ask how. They ask how many. At the end of the day, like, they don't really care. It does not matter as long as you got one.
But what about the players? What if they lost to Dortmund? You know what I mean? That wouldn't feel that good.
No, and what if they died? I'm talking about winning it. I'm saying if you win it, no, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah, true.
If you and even still, if you lose it, it really all depends on the manner in which you lose it. I mean, but for a couple of coin flips, we could have easily lost to Porto. And this season goes from being a potential, you know, historic one to kind of a disappointment. So
I just
feel like get me as far as we can, you know, and I don't really care how it happens. But that's just, I don't know. That's just me. Like,
did you see that insane stat that anybody who beats Porto goes to the final? That's ridiculous. I did not know that.
It's written in stone now. So book your tickets for Wembley.
Book your tickets now for Wembley. Yeah, why not? Let's do it. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but.
No, but I mean, let's talk a little bit about Bayern. Obviously, a down season by their standards, or just that Leverkusen is just that good. So they're going to be fun to watch in Europa, which they should have gone out in the last round. That was crazy. But let's talk Bayern. It's the return of Harry Kane. I don't really like that. I was really hoping to not ever have to see him again. He's scored 30 plus goals for them this season. It's obviously, you know, either hasn't lost a step or the Bundesliga is that big of a step down. But how do you feel about Bayern as a team, their form, Kane coming back, all the storylines that manifest with this draw? Either of you.
Oh, well, look, obviously we have an opportunity to just ruin Kane's season, you know, leaving Tottenham to go to Bayern to try and win trophies, and then this season he might not win anything. So there is that kind of, I guess, subplot to this whole thing. But in terms of Bayern Munich as a team, I think it'll be such a different type of game compared to what we came up against Porto. I think they will be so open. I think they have, obviously, they got enough quality to be able to score goals against us. Although obviously we have a tremendous defensive record, but I think
it's the best defensive record in this tournament, by the way.
Yeah,
so far.
And I think, look, but I do think they do have the ability to score against us for sure. They just, because they've got that added bit of quality. But I think defensively they'll be very open, which gives us the opportunity to score. And with the fact that, you know, we're coming off such a great run of goals that, you know, and our goal scoring form in the Premier League at least has been pretty good. I think we got I truly think we got a really good chance of going through to the semis. And I know against Porto I might have been a bit like, oh, look, we don't have the experience stuff. But I just feel like with this Bayern Munich team, I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. I'm not going to say that we're going to just blaze through it. It's going to be tough. We can obviously still go out. They can obviously still go through. But I think we have an opportunity to go through as well. It's just going to depend on over two legs. We've just got to be smart about it.
Yeah, and I think the odds makers have slightly better than a coin flip. Like very slightly better than a coin flip, which is not bad. I mean, I don't think that's something that I don't feel like they're slighting us in any way. I feel pretty good about that. Wissam, the home leg is first. We're at the Emirates first. Big advantage for Arsenal. Bayern can't bring away fans to this fixture. And Arsenal actually get to sell that allotment to our own fans. So it should be 60,000 strong in the Emirates without an away section. Do you feel like the first leg at home is an advantage here? It was not obviously in the round of 16, but that has a lot to do with you know, the first place team in the group playing the second place team and then doing the away leg first for that first place team. So that's not necessarily the best barometer, but do you feel like the home leg here first might be an advantage for Arsenal to settle into the tie?
I can see how it could be. Definitely having 60,000 fans just roaring is going to be, you know, quite the edge. I wish I could go to that game. That'd be amazing. I'm hoping that we can, yeah, settle into the quarterfinals because, you know, new players, a new tournament for these, for pretty much everyone, right? Except for, what? No, that's like literally everyone on our team hasn't been to the quarterfinals. And to have them at home with 60,000 fans, that's pretty good. I think that's a good idea for them to ease into it and hopefully get a few goals on top. And since there's no away goals anymore, it's just even. So hopefully we can get some sort of lead and go to Germany and finish them off there by playing, I don't know, maybe more defensive or something. But yeah, I think I actually think it does help us rather than coming home after maybe a German defeat or something like that and trying to beat them here.
Yeah, I think that there's a psychological risk of getting potentially overawed by doing the away leg first. You're in the quarterfinal. You know, it's not Porto, which we looked a little overawed really by the away leg first in Porto. But now you get a chance to settle into the tie, play against your home fan or play, you know, play with your home fans in the stadium first. And then sort of maybe get a sense of where the tie is, a sense of what you're up against before having to go into the cauldron of an away fixture against a European giant. And if you're already settled into that tie, maybe, Alex, maybe there's just a bit of a psychological edge there in terms of just being a little more relaxed, having at least played the team, even if you haven't played them in that particular atmosphere.
Yeah, I think as you guys mentioned, having 60,000 of just pure Arsenal fans, especially when you look at the game against Porto, you know, if the atmosphere is even half that atmosphere, I think, you know, it's going to be, Bayern are going to feel like they're in a bit of a cauldron. And I think that first leg is going to be really important for us. I kind of feel like if we want to get through, I feel like we've got to win that first leg by probably a couple of goals. And then, yeah, we can go to the Allianz. The pressure will obviously be on. Although, having said that, you know, is there pressure? Yes, there is. But I don't think anyone thought, well, at least some of, I guess, Arsenal's detractors probably didn't think we'd get to the quarterfinals. So I feel like from here on out, the pressure, not that the pressure's completely off, but I think the players are going to be like, listen, we're going to be able to play with a bit more freedom, a bit more of a free-flowing style because of the likes of Bayern wanting to attack and probably not having the best defense. And then if we do get to the semifinals, whether it's Madrid or Man City, you know, that'll be probably an open-ish game as well. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I actually can't wait for this tie. You know, although the games come on at a ridiculous time where I am, I might have to get up and watch these.
Yeah, they're probably going to be worth watching live. And yeah, I know a little bit about your time zone, and it's bad for you. It's actually pretty good. It's pretty good for my schedule.
Yeah. Always replays for the Champions League for me. Always replays.
All right. Let me just real quick, a couple of predictions. Harry Kane, over under 1.5 goals in this tie. Wassam?
He's going to get a PK. He always does. He always does against us. So.
Oh no, that's in the stars. But yeah, if I give you 1.5, do you go over or under?
I'm gonna go under.
I think we can shut Arsenal out. Can Arsenal win if he goes over that? Like if he scores twice in the tie, you know, can we win giving them two goals like that? Anyway, Alex, 1.5 goals, Harry Kane, over under.
Sorry, are you saying 1.5 just for the home fixture or both legs?
Both legs.
I'm going to say over.
You think he scores at least two?
Yes, but I still think we could still have a chance of going through.
That would be quite interesting. I mean, we do have experience beating Harry Kane while he scores against us, so
yes,
it wouldn't be the strangest thing we've ever seen.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think Arsenal fans should not underestimate the fact that Bayern will not have any fans in that home league.
Yeah, I'm actually curious, having not played at any kind of level, I'm very interested to know, you know, sort of what an away section does for a big European team. Because my experience as, you know, as a spectator is actually MLS in the US, and there's typically not huge supporter sections or away sections in MLS games. So, you know, you don't see teams drawing on sort of their away support in a lot of MLS games. So I'm not as attuned to how big of an impact an away section can have on a team. And I don't know if either of you have opinions on that, but I'm just, and I'm not saying it's big. I'm not saying it's not big. I'm just saying, I don't know.
Yeah. I think from my experience, having been to some games, like when I've been in the UK, I would say that it does have a big effect. Especially, I think night games, it can have an effect. And I think when you're going away in Europe, there's definitely an added 12th man effect if you have some good away support. And I just think, look, obviously Bayern have, like I said earlier, they've got such good quality. But I just think if we were to score, and if the crowd were to really get up for it, like I mentioned, the Porto game at home, it's going to be a long night for Bayern, I feel. And that's not arrogance. That's just from like what I saw in the Porto game and just from my understanding of away support and the effect it can have.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. Well, I can't wait to hear what the Emirates sounds like. Even on TV, it was just extremely loud sounding for the Porto game.
It sounded, amazing. Yeah,
at Porto, their fans were ruckus. Like, I could feel just like the nervousness on the pitch because of the fans as well, you know, not just the situation, because they're so lively. So, yeah.
I mean, it'll be interesting. Let's just do quick predictions. So, Alex, how does this one go?
Both
over
ties?
The two legs. Who advances? Yeah. What's your aggregate?
So I'm going to say in the first leg, I'm going to go 3-1 Arsenal. And then in the second leg, I'm going to go 2-2.
All right. Well, that sounds like an Arsenal advance.
Yes, which would be nice. Yeah, I think, or maybe 3-2 Bayern. But either way, we still go through.
All right, Wassam, how do you see this tie playing out?
Sorry, there's a garbage man doing their thing outside, so sorry for the noise. For the first leg, I'm actually wondering how Arteta is going to set up and how we're going to press. Are we going to smother them like we did, you know, the Newcastle and whatnot? Or are we going to try and play a little more relaxed like we did during Man City? I hope we do what we do best, which is press. It's been working, you know, over the past 8 games. If we do set up like that and we're confident about our ability, I think we can get away from that game with 3 goals to maybe 1, so 3-1. And then in the second leg, I think it's going to be a draw.
All right, so you've got Arsenal advancing as well. I think I will as well. We underestimated Porto, right? Nobody will be underestimating Bayern Munich, except that I think we're actually kind of underestimating Bayern Munich. Maybe not the two of us. I think Arsenal fandom as a whole, and there's a lot of that on social media, you know, Bayern's in kind of a bit of a down cycle. You know, they're not winning the Bundesliga, which is really weird. And, you know, Tuchel is a lame duck manager who is probably not especially good. And so I see all that, but
he's also got a terrible record against Arteta.
That is true as well. But I just think this is so big, and we have shown ourselves to maybe be a little susceptible to the moment in Europe so far. And I'm not sure that that calms down, because you've now ramped up, not necessarily the pressure, but you've ramped up the occasion. You've ramped up the moment. And I think it's very easy to maybe get caught up in that a little bit. The first leg, I think, becomes very, very crucial. You have to, I think, and Alex, you mentioned this. I think if Arsenal doesn't win by 2 goals, I think we're in trouble. Because I don't think that we go to Munich. I don't think we go to Munich having to play for a draw and find that to be particularly easy.
Yeah. Yep.
So I am going to say Arsenal advance. I probably think it's maybe 4-3 on aggregate is going to be my guess. But I wouldn't be surprised to see extra time, and I wouldn't be surprised that if the first leg doesn't go extremely well, that the second leg is going to be that much more difficult.
Yeah, if we screw up the first leg, then it's going to be a real, you know, pushing shit up a hill, so to speak, kind of vibe.
Yeah, and I just don't mean losing or drawing. I agree with you. If we win that one 1-0 or 2-1, I think we've got problems.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think, but it's really hard to predict, because, like, obviously we talked about, Bayern aren't going to have any fans, and you know, if the atmosphere is anything like the home game against Porto, that could be the difference between, you know, a 1-0 or a 2-1 compared to, say, a 3-1 or maybe even a 3-0. You know what I mean? Like, that could be the literal difference.
Yeah, and you can never quantify it, but it would just be hilarious if Bayern ended up going out because their fans couldn't stop throwing flares on the field at Lazio.
Right? Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
And you'll never know for sure, but the lingering doubt would be good enough. Let's do real quick predictions on the other ties. You can just tell me who you think advance out of this. On our half of the draw, it's Real Madrid and Manchester City. Wassam, who makes it?
I'm sorry. Just let me say one more thing about the Bayern, man. Sure. That tie. What gives me more hope is just how bad they were versus Man U. I mean, watching them play against them and seeing Man U almost win despite, like, Onana's slip-ups just gives me hope. You know what I mean?
They've not been terribly great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
they had trouble with Lazio. I am sure that the Arsenal coaching staff is just studying the most recent Leverkusen game. Leverkusen tore them apart a little bit.
Probably talking to Xavi because they're friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yeah, you could probably get some hints about how to take on these guys. But for the other ties, I got Atletico beating Dortmund.
Hold on.
Sorry.
I'm trying to get ahead.
Apologies.
Madrid City, who comes out of that one?
I don't know. I think I'm looking at City, and they can get got. They don't have their defense like they did last year. They're allowing so many counterattacks per game, and the only problem is the teams just haven't been finishing, such as like Chelsea. They could have won that game. Chelsea could have won that game against City. And same with Liverpool. They weren't finishing their sitters. So Real Madrid, they do have that class with Vinny and Bellingham. I'm actually giving a slight edge to Madrid here.
All right. And they've played in the last two knockout stages. Madrid staged the pretty significant comeback a couple of years ago. City pretty much embarrassed them last year.
Yeah, that's true.
So we'll see if there's a bit of a revenge factor there. Alex, Madrid City, who comes out of that one?
Yeah, I agree with Sam. I'm going to go Madrid. To be honest, actually, there's no real reason, because they're both such close teams. You could probably pick either one. You could flip a coin almost. I'm just going to go Madrid because, you know, I think Well, I'm going to go Madrid because we have a perfect record against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu.
Small sample size alert, but yes.
Yes. Yeah, well,
right. Hey. Yeah, it's still a sample though.
Small sample size or not, it's 100%.
I'm going to take Madrid just because that would be a way more interesting semifinal if Arsenal were to make it through than City, which would be just 180 minutes of absolute misery to go through and play City twice more, which would be five times for the season if you count the Community Shield. So yeah, I'm going to pick Madrid just because City going through would just not be fun for anybody on the
Arsenal ask me that question after we face them against us, after we face them at the Etihad.
No, I mean, I get that. And I don't think that, I mean, I don't think we'd be scared of facing City. And I'm just saying that, like, I just don't want to play them five times in a season. It's just not.
Same.
It's boring.
It's super in boring.
Like,
no, I get that. But if we beat them at the Etihad, then that's three wins out of three.
So no, that's true.
I'd be looking at it going, okay, we clearly have their number this season, so let's face them in the semifinals so we can get to the finals of the Champions League.
That's true.
Because we'll probably win.
Yeah.
Flipping over to the other half of the draw, Alex, Atletico Madrid and Borussia Dortmund. Who you got coming out of that one?
Yeah, look, I'm going to go with Atletico on that one. I think, they'll probably shithouse their way to the final. I can really see that happening. They're that kind of team. So yeah, Atletico Madrid.
Right, they're a much better Porto, right?
Yeah,
with probably more attacking talent. Wissam, Madrid, Dortmund. Who do you got?
Madrid.
I think so too. I really want Dortmund to win that, but I don't see it happening. But then again, you know, I've been wrong before. But yeah. Dortmund is having the same down season as Bayern, except their down seasons look worse even than Bayern's. We've got PSG Barcelona. That should be a really fun one, I think. In fact, I think all of these ties are just look like an absolute blast. So Wissam, who do you have coming out of that one, PSG or Barcelona?
This one's a little difficult for me. I think PSG is the worst team, but they have the best player in the world. And I think Barcelona just hasn't looked that great. I don't know about this one. It could just be Mbappe, you know, just taking the game by the neck and just dragging it to the semifinals. I really don't know. It's flipped a coin to me. If I had to guess, I would say Barcelona.
All right, Alex?
Yeah, I'm going to go PSG because honestly, if we don't make it to the final, I think it would be a great sort of story if Mbappe was to just win the Champions League for PSG. However, if we are in the final against PSG, then obviously I hope he doesn't win it. But, you know, I'm just going to go PSG purely because I think the story, you know, the last thing he does before he leaves the club wins the Champions League. I think that'd be a really cool story.
I think I'm going to go PSG, one, because screw Barcelona.
That's fair.
But from, you know, that's deep. That's the deep analysis.
That's amazing. That's amazing analysis. I love it.
But secondly, and honestly, as much as I love some of Barcelona's young players, I feel like this might be a stage a little bit too big for some of their younger players. So maybe the occasion gets to them a little bit as well. And I think Mbappe can probably take advantage of that. And there's some other talent playing at PSG as well. I honestly don't think they're a huge threat to win the tournament, but this one's really more gut than anything else. So, all right. So let's leave the Champions League for now. We've got other things even more Arsenal centric to talk about. And it ties into the Champions League because we're going to talk April fixtures. Now, if you count, you know, if you want to lump the March 31st City game in with this, and I don't see why you wouldn't because time is arbitrary. So March 31st is basically April. Then you've got, by my count, no fewer than eight games in April. and a potential Champions League semifinal first leg, either April 30th or May 1st. So up to 9, that's a lot in a single month. And they're not particularly easy fixtures. So I want to think about and talk about how we cope with a massive April fixture list. And as I mentioned in the intro, though, for once, for the first time I can remember, it feels like instead of all our injuries piling up right around the time you have a congested fixture list, either whether it's the winter program or, you know, in crunch time in the spring and in March, April, May, it feels like we're getting healthy at the right time. Kaya Kainak in Football London this morning reported that Jurrien Timber is expected back after the international break. That means we could see him in a match day squad. If not for City, then perhaps for Luton or Brighton. Thomas Partey is back in full training, didn't go away with Ghana. Takahiro Tomiyasu should be back by then, didn't go away with Japan. So let's talk a little bit about how you view the fixture list and how you view our coming back to health, maybe at the right time. But this also presents, with along with these opportunities, some really interesting challenges regarding how you get somebody like Jurrien Timber match fit in a run where every game feels like a cup final, or how you get Thomas Partey match fit in where every game feels like a cup final. So a lot of different stuff there to talk about. So I'll give you a little bit of a free spin here on which aspect of this stuff you want to cover. So Wissam, I'll start with you. How do you feel in terms of fixture congestion, injuries, recoveries, rotation, whatever you feel like talking about with regards to the games coming up?
I think Arteta needs to pull off like a masterclass with this. If we do have all our players fit, but some of them not match fit, it's going to be very important for him to rotate at the right time. Hopefully our offense is still firing on all cylinders so we can batter teams in the first half and try to get Partey and even possibly Timber. I still don't think Timber is actually going to play this year. Even though I really do want him to, I don't think it's possible with his injury. He might react.
I'm okay. I tend to agree with you on that, and I think that's okay.
I mean, if they say he's good to go, I mean, hallelujah. Absolutely put that guy on the team. But he hasn't played in about a year. Same with Partey, super rusty. If you noticed his touch on the ball, so he definitely needs some game time. I understand that we may be doing friendlies during this international break, maybe like with Watford or something, or even Brentford, just to try to get some people some minutes. However, yeah, this is a gauntlet. This is an absolute just gauntlet for the team. It's looking like we have a game every 3 to 4 days, and every game is just so important if we can't lose it at all. And it is as well as the hardest between all of the teams competing for the title. Liverpool's is the easiest, Man City is second, we have the hardest. And I'm hoping that we just have a run of form where we can sub in our players during the second half and get them into fitness and then start rotating well so we can get like Jorginho off and Partey in, or Tommy in and White off, and you know, and even Saliba at times if we can get him off and have him rest. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Arteta does. This is his moment to shine, and if he can do it, man, oh my God, it'll be one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, let me just read the fixture list real quick. March 31st, City away. April 3rd, Luton at home. April 6th, Brighton away. April 9th, Bayern at home. April 13th, Villa at home. April 17th, Bayern away. April 20th, Wolves at home. April 27th, Tottenham away.
Wolves is away, I think.
What's that?
Wolves is away.
Oh, that is.
Oh, my God.
So they got three away games, basically.
Yes, yeah, so the three away games in a row, 17th to 20th, Tottenham away, April 27th, and then a potential Champions League semifinal to sort of cap that off, first leg to cap that off. Mm-hmm. Alex, what keeps you up at night about all of this?
Oh man, there's so much that I'm
besides looking at the start times for the Champions League.
Yeah, that keeps me up for a whole different reason.
Nice.
Yeah, that's tough. If you know, I know we're obviously top of the league, same on equal points with Liverpool, one ahead of Man City, but man, oof, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking that is hard. That I mean, some real tough City away, Brighton away, Villa at home, Wolves away. That's a tough game in the Premier League. They're, you know, at Molineux, they're a different team at home. Wolves, Tottenham away, and then after that, I think for the next, the last what we got to re or and yeah, I think what when does Chelsea get rescheduled? Chelsea at home. That's got to be rescheduled somewhere, maybe in there. Potentially.
I think it's before Tottenham, so it could be away. Could be between to Wolves away
between
to...
Wolves and Tottenham. So yeah. That's another game potentially. And then we've got Man United at Old Trafford, and then Everton at home. And it's like far out, you know. It doesn't stop. I agree with Sam. Arteta's got to pull a rabbit out of the hat, in my opinion, because this is hard. Like this is going to be a real, and this is where, you know, rotation of players at certain points, certain fixtures, is really going to be key. Bringing in the likes of, you know, Partey for the last, you know, 10, 15 minutes of a game if we're winning it. You know, if we're at home against Luton and we're, you know, 3-0 up with 20 to go, bring him on. You know, maybe you say the same for Tomiyasu, and maybe, you know, if Martinelli's coming back from injury, do the same thing with him. So this is where rotation at key moments in games is going to be absolutely crucial to make sure everyone is fit, everyone is ready, everyone is match fit, so that we can keep just churning out results, hopefully. But yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be real hard.
Yeah, and in a way, these players coming back, we want to think that that gives us a lot of depth, and it does, but only to the extent that you can get them back into match fitness in good enough shape to actually maybe start a game here and there. And are you going to see that from Yuri and Timber? Wissam doesn't think so. I tend to agree with that. I don't think that I don't love the idea of Yuri and Timber playing. And that's not me trying to second guess the Arsenal medical team or whatever. Obviously they've forgotten more about any of this stuff than I will ever know in any number of lifetimes. But man, just given what we know in general about ACL injuries, if you're giving Yuri and Timber minutes, it's really about probably just trying to give him confidence in the knee, confidence in making cuts and changing directions. And so I would love to see him shut down, but I'm, you know, as a player, I would hate that as well. If I felt like I was ready and the medical team told me I was ready, I'd want to be back out there. And I totally get that. You're right about Partey as well, because when he has come back in and played, he's looked rusty. And of course you would expect that, but he's got to play that off very, very quickly, because there are going to be games when we need Thomas Partey. I would love to see him start Luton, and that's not going to happen unless he gets some really good time in some friendlies over the break. I would like to see Tomiyasu be able to start a game or two over the next couple of weeks. You know, I would like to see some of these guys get enough time to be able to come back and play some very significant minutes. And the reason you play friendlies is so that you can get them some of those 15, 20 minute, you know, appearances before you start really piling on the minutes. And I don't know how intense those friendlies can get. You can never simulate an actual match. I get that. But, you know, how much better does a friendly prepare you than, you know, an intense training session? And I'm not entirely sure of that. But we do have players coming back, and that's certainly better than players going out. So, you know, for once, I feel like we're trending in the right direction there.
Well, you say that, but apparently what, Gabriel might have picked up an injury or something with Brazil?
Yeah, big Gabby.
It's a good point. So I've seen a lot on this recently, some sort of the latest report I read was an inflamed Achilles potentially. Look, if you're asking me, this sounds like we're finally starting to learn to play the international break game.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And like get some key players to not go play meaningless March friendlies with 10 games left in a Premier League season where you're in a title race. This one to me feels like if they were playing, if Brazil were playing World Cup qualifiers, I bet he goes and plays. But they're playing friendlies. They're in Europe. Who cares? You know?
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, you got a little knock? Why don't you just sit back in London and you know,
yeah, exactly.
And cool practice. Your jets and heal up a little bit. Yeah. I wish we had done it with more players. I wish we'd had more. Tomiyasu obviously didn't go back with Japan. Thomas Partey not going back with Ghana. Obviously, Martinelli has the cut on his foot. You know, I'm wondering how badly that affects his fitness more than anything else. Hopefully,
Ben White, obviously not with the English team, thank God, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on that. I mean,
I'm more than happy with him staying. I'm like, you know what? Because for the first half of the season, he was injured. There's no real proof, but they have been saying rumors that he had a knee injury.
Yeah,
obviously because he had to play because we had no one else. You could see the difference. Like when he went away to Dubai and he came back, he had a bit of a break, probably got his knee healed a little bit better. He looked a completely different player. So listen, keep them all home, I say. Saka. Tell Saka to get on the plane immediately. Come back. Get on the same plane. Come on.
I mean,
Ramsdale can stay.
We probably should have had a pod about Ben White and Gareth Southgate, but all I can say is like, you know, F Gareth Southgate sideways into the moon. I just cannot stand him. I couldn't stand him before. I feel like he's underachieved with the most talented England team that we're going to see in a long time. And the way he has treated Ben White in this particular break, just whatever respect I may have had for the guy, which was basically none, is less than that now, if such a thing is possible. Just abhorrent behavior from Southgate. So screw him. Screw the England setup. Like, I hope Saka and Rice do extremely well, but I just I can't stand him. I just can't.
Ben White's a professional. He doesn't even like soccer or football. You know what I mean? Like, he'll play, but he doesn't even like football.
But apparently, that's where all this came from, though, was the fact that one of Southgate's coaching staff called Ben White out on the fact that he said that in an interview. Ben White was like, listen, I'm done. Like, I'm not
That's the most
this.
Professional thing ever, though. He's like, I play it, but I don't even like it.
and plays it. Look, obviously, this is all speculation.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's all speculation. I'm not sure if this is true or not, but that's what I heard. Yeah. I heard that. Look, to be fair, I also heard something along the lines of he was annoyed that he was playing with the bibs on, which is like means you're like a reserve, and he was like,
yeah, bro, you're just a traveler.
I'm better than all these other wing backs you got here. What's going on here, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but we know how Southgate operates. He has his favorites. He's the one that he picks. He's always had his favorites. That's why the likes of Harry Kane or all these guys McGuire. Get selected.
Yeah,
and you think these guys are not good enough to be playing for England, but they get picked anyway. So.
Yeah, they're not good enough to play for
middle. Could be a multitude of things. Mm-hmm. Could be a multitude of things.
And I think it's too much to say Ben White doesn't like football.
I know, but it's just funny to me. You know,
he doesn't like watching football.
Yeah.
I think he loves playing it.
Right.
Which to be fair, I actually get that because I'm not in terms of football, but like when I'm playing like cricket, for example, I can't really watch it because it's a bit sort of long and but when I play it. Okay, like it's fun.
I can't believe I'm having to talk to an Aussie about this, but I really like watching T20.
Oh, look,
cricket.
ODI
is my favorite format for what it's worth, but like, I don't know.
I don't even know how it works, honestly.
To be honest, the only time I watch T20 is during World Cups. Well, the World Cups is the only really T20s I watch, to be honest.
I'm pretty excited. That's coming to the US this summer, so I'm pretty psyched to get in on that. But think about this, like in terms of your profession, how much do you like thinking about and talking about and getting into your profession when you're on your own time? I mean,
that's true.
You know, I teach. Do I like watching other people teach in my spare time? No. Even if I could maybe pick up some pointers or whatever. I'm not doing that. That's my spare time. I don't want to think about my profession necessarily on a lot of my spare time. You know, yeah. if it's work, and let's not pretend it's not work. In a similar, it's high paid, glamorous work, and you could talk about whether either of those make it necessarily worth it. And I think a lot of professional footballers might tell you that it's probably not.
Right.
But at
right.
the end of the day, it's work. And if you tell me that I don't like to do work or think about work when I'm not at work, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes you just like most of the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And I love Ben White for being able to say that, for being able to say, like, I have a life outside of this. This doesn't need to be everything. And everyone at the club clearly loves him. Obviously, the re-signing video was made knowing what was about to come out from Southgate. There's no way that wasn't well thought out and planned. Not just the release of the video, but how they did it, right? To get all the input from his teammates and from colleagues and from coaches to really try and counter the very obvious narrative that Southgate and the England coaching staff wanted to put out there, which was that Ben White doesn't want to play for England, the subtext of which was obviously Ben White's not patriotic, Ben White's not committed to England, Ben White, blah, 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 blah. And you got all of that on English talk radio. Right. If you've listened to Talk Sport for more than 30 seconds, you probably heard it. You know, in Harry the Redknapp, backside of that.
Harry Redknapp saying, oh, yeah, you know, you should never be selected again. But you know what I would say? I would say that there are a lot of dinosaurs in football who don't quite understand that this is probably going to be more of the norm in generations, the next generations of footballers come through. Because the game is evolving to the point where I honestly don't think there are a lot of players now who, like, yes, they like playing for their country, but it's like, you know, if it's a friendly, they're going to probably be like, ah, oh, yeah, man, like, I'm good. You know, I'm going for, like, especially players that are going for league titles and Champions Leagues. And, you know, they're not, we're talking about a sport that is very league centric. So, you grow up having your own team, your own club that you support, that you would die for. You know, people get tattoos of like the cannon on their body. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you grow up having your team. That's your team. And I just think that's kind of where football's maybe going a bit more towards that side, where you're going to end up with players saying, you know what? If I don't play for England, I'm not really the end of the world. I mean, Jamie Carragher has come out and said he never really had the dream of playing for England. So it's like, I mean, he did, but it was like, well, okay. But nobody, you know, nobody says anything about that. It's like, oh, well, you know. So it's not like this is something that's new. It's happened before. And I don't understand why it's such a big deal. You know, go for it, Wilson.
Yeah, this could be uniquely an English problem, you know, because Brazilians love playing for Brazil, and same with Argentinians. And even Americans love playing for America. This could be an English problem and a Southgate problem.
But Ben White, it could also be that too, yeah.
Ben White loves playing for England. This isn't, I don't think this is about that at all. I mean, when he got his first call up, you know, he tweeted something about it, and, you know, talked about crying for an hour after he got the call. This was obviously a dream for Ben White too.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think Ben White also keenly understands that when you're in a setup where you're not appreciated, when you're in a setup where your mindset, which is, let's be fair to Ben White, Ben White's not a typical footballer. He's wired a little bit differently, right? He's able to come out and say, like, I've heard this elsewhere, like, there are probably a lot of footballers that don't like to sit around and watch the game all the time. They just were either, depending on how you want to think about it, too cynical or too smart or too scared to come out and say it. Ben White's not. He's not afraid to come out and say. He's not afraid to speak his mind. He's not afraid to be something. And we saw this with a guy like Hector Bellerin, right? By the way, happy 29th to him. I saw that this morning
yeah.
on Twitter.
Me too.
love Hector. But Hector was that way too. It's something about Arsenal right backs. They're wired a little differently. In my opinion, the best possible way. Ben White doesn't not want to play for England. Ben White does not want to be at a place where his way of thinking is not appreciated and where he is not appreciated, in my opinion. And more power to him. If that's the case, which I think it is, then, you know, kudos to Ben White. It makes me love him more.
Yeah, he's going to be massively, I mean, we love him here. He can just stay here, you know what I mean? He's going to be massively important this next month.
And congrats to Ben White on the new contract, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
Big money.
That was the video that came out. You know, it was the re-signing video. It was just...
That was planned.
Obviously, was obviously an attempt to counter the narrative.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Which was nice.
That was some 4D chess from Arsenal.
It was.
Like they knew. They must have got wind that Southgate was going to say something, and they were like, okay, cool. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we're just going to show you love, dude. Yeah, here's your new contract. Here's some money. That's great. I love it.
And so, you know, whether or not it works in terms of the larger English fan base, which I don't think it will, because that's not how football fandom works. But if it works for team unity, and if it works to make sure, to ensure that Ben White's mindset is where it needs to be, I think it will. And then I think in that sense, it will be extremely successful. I think Ben White feels he's at a place where he's appreciated and loved and accepted for, you know, the kind of player he is. And his players talked about, like, he works harder than anyone else. How many times did they use the word warrior to describe him, right? It's now come out in the last couple of days that, like, he hides injuries in order to be able to play. This is not a guy who doesn't love what he does. Not a guy who doesn't love the game, right? This is a guy who...
Yeah, there are some players that would, like, you know, the moment they get injured, they'd be out for, like, weeks. This guy's playing through, like, you know, first grade hamstring tears, you know, at the end of a season because, you know, Tomiyasu and Saliba are injured. You know, like, that's some old school mentality right there, you know?
It's incredible. It's incredible.
And what makes me excited, just in general, about the club is that they have this player on their hands and they get him. Like, they get that he is not the same as a lot of other footballers. He's wired a little bit differently, and they not just accept it, but they appreciate it. And that, again, that just excites me long term, because it means that it feels like nearly everything that the club is doing with regards to players, with regards to transfers, to re-signing players, is just all been so good and right. And it feels good to support them, because it feels like just whatever it is, in any sort of facet of being a club, they just sort of get it. Whatever it is, right?
Yeah, I was watching like old Arteta interviews. I don't know, I was watching some YouTube video that brought it up. And he's very honest about the mentality of the club. Even early on, he's like, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. But then when we are, he's like, yeah, we're there. We still have ways to go, but we're there in terms of how much the commitment is there from all the players and, you know, and the goals are set. So, yeah, he's definitely done very well in terms of having such a great just the way of thinking for the club, you know, and then these players can all attach to and believe in. And the players that he's picking out in terms of who he wants to be in this journey with him in Arsenal has been top-notch as well. So hats off to him for that.
Yeah, and when Arteta talks, you don't just feel like he's blowing smoke. You don't just feel like he's telling somebody what they want to hear.
No, he's very honest about it. Unless he's talking about injuries, and then you have no idea.
Right, and so even when he's dishonest in a way that fans get and that fans appreciate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's a little bit of dark arts in there.
You feel like he's being dishonest, but it's on the club's behalf, it's with people who don't need to know anyway, so it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. He gets it, man. He's totally empathetic in terms of what he needs to say.
He's one of those players as well, like Ben White, who if he's playing for your team, he's like one of the best. You'll love him. If he's in the opposition team, you're like, oh man, this guy.
True, so true.
This guy, you know, like it's one of those. He's one of those kind of players.
Yeah, oh my god, I would hate if Ben. Yeah, if Ben White played for Chelsea or Tottenham.
Like, oh, we'd hate him. We'd hate him.
I'd have him on a dartboard somewhere, right?
Yeah, like, exactly.
This guy. Exactly. He would be every bit as bad as like Eric Dier or something. As far as like players on other teams, I just could not stand.
I was looking at the schedule, and I think it's important that Ben White starts for Bayern, right, and goes up against Musiala. But do you think that means we can put in Tommy for Brighton? Do you think he'd be ready for that?
I don't see why that would be a bad idea. Yeah. Is Matoma going to be back by then for Brighton? I don't know the severity of his injury.
I don't know. I could look that up. Let's see.
But anyway, we'll transition here and then we'll wrap up because we've been going at this for an hour. But Liverpool loses in the FA Cup quarterfinals to Manchester City in a match that was extremely entertaining, I think, and frequently hilarious. 4-3 after extra time. But Liverpool loses in the FA Cup. I have this phrased in my notes, does it help us or hurt us? But I really think that it's more appropriate to ask, does that help them or hurt them? So do either of you think about, I mean, Liverpool, what they give up two games in the process of losing the quarterfinal, but they have to sit on this particular L for 2 weeks now, which is kind of hilarious. But do you think that losing out in the FA Cup quarterfinals, does it help them or hurt them?
I think it helps them, to be honest with you. I think with their injuries, I think it gives them obviously more time to rest, bring back players from injury. Yeah, I think it helps them, in my opinion.
I think it hurts them, but it also does help them. If we lost against Porto, and we had to sit on that L, but we didn't have to play in, you know, Bayern and whatnot, I still think it would hurt us in terms of our momentum and our, you know, psychology. I understand that they have the easiest run, and now they have an easier run because of it. But I still think that was a huge game for them. I think that mentally that kind of, you know, wrecked their confidence a bit.
Well, and that's the thing. Does the mental pain, does it overcome sort of the physical advantage? And that's a really interesting question. Here's what I know. That if we were sitting on a Porto Champions League exit for 2 weeks, the Arsenal fan base would be melting all the way down. Now, whether that ever transmits to the players or not is, you know, obviously, hopefully not, but you know that there has to be some psychological effect. Obviously, it affected Klopp if you've seen clips of his post-game.
Oh, yeah.
post-game yeah. interview, which, by the way, I feel like not a big enough deal is being made of that. Like, this is the same thing that, like, other managers get a pass for being, you know, for acting absolutely abhorrently, and yet, like, Arteta can't celebrate a goal or run down the sideline without it being the main story on TalkSport or in the tabloids for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Anyway, he's always been a little salty, you know, even when he wins, he's always a little salty about it. I think that's just him, and they give him a pass, but yeah, Arteta would have, I don't know, got some sort of league deduction or something.
I feel like he crossed a pretty significant line.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Yeah. You should be
banned for the next game of the touchline. I have a one game ban or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, or even a fine. Like, it's got to be something. You know, you can't just be saying that to, like, a journalist who's just trying to do their job. Look, don't get me wrong. There are some interviewers that I watch after games, and I go, man, how on earth do you have a job as an interviewer?
It's true. It's so true.
Like, where did you get your journalism degree from? Right. From the bottom of a cereal box? Like, it makes no sense for the rubbish you're asking. But, you know, at the same time.
When I give you terrible questions and prompts, it's because I'm not a professional, so you can't think that about it.
Exactly. Right? And that's why I don't hold it against you.
Appreciate it.
Pals. Yeah. So, but it's one of those things I'm just like, you can't just be saying that. And surely, like, you know, if you're the manager of such a big club, a club with the size and stature of Liverpool, you should know better. But yeah, I agree. I find it hilarious how the tabloids they're not even picking up on it. They don't care. And it's like, oh yeah, here we go.
They're bought and sold into the idea this is his last season, so just let him do it.
And as you mentioned that's part of the reason why I think it's not going to hurt them as much, because Klopp's announced that he's leaving.
Yeah.
So I think if this was any other season, I think it could have been completely different. But because he said, yeah, I'm done, I just think they're going to be galvanized even more now because they've lost out on another trophy. So they're going to be like, listen, we've got to go hard now for the league or the Europa League because, listen, this is the last dance kind of thing.
Yeah, and they're going to get Jota back, I think, in early April, and also Trent at some point. And I don't see them dropping points. I really don't.
I do. At their schedule, their underlying numbers are fine, but they're not great. They're not title winning. I just don't feel like they can keep getting away with what they've gotten away with.
I think they'll drop maybe points in one or two games, but I reckon they're good for 90 points. I do think that. I think they right now the max they can get as well as us is 94 points.
Yeah.
And I think they might get a couple of draws, maybe just one loss. I think Fulham away is going to be a tough game for them.
I do too. Yeah.
Fulham's done the business.
I know. It's so good. Oh my God. It was so good.
I think that's going to be a tough game. And there's probably one more game in there. I think. Do they come up against Tottenham? Yes, they do.
They do. Yes. The Tottenham plays all three.
Yeah. So that could potentially be another banana skin. But I think they could maybe draw those games because they've got so much firepower. So it's like maybe the last 10 games, it's 8 wins, 2 draws for Liverpool, which if that's the case, we have to basically match that.
Yeah, we just have to match
it. And I look at our fixtures, we could easily draw against City, which is our next one. Then, Brighton away, tough. Villa at home, tough. Wolves away, tough. Tottenham away, tough.
Yeah.
Man United away, tough.
Yeah, these are all.
When was the last time, apart from the COVID 2020 win at Old Trafford, when was the last time we actually went there in front of 75,000 and actually got a result?
It's been 2 months because it'll be very recently after that.
Yeah.
And all these teams are vying for, CL bids, so they're going to be playing hard.
I can't wait to see Tottenham trot their U15s out for Liverpool and City.
Oh, yep, 100%. which then begs the question, should we just knock ourselves out of the Champions League so the fifth spot doesn't get it?
That'd be hilarious. Oh, my God.
So it's like, no, you have to get fourth now, you fuckers.
That'd be amazing.
There are levels to pettiness that I'm not sure we're willing to go to, but it would be hilarious nonetheless. So
if City doesn't make it, they would just have to root for us, wouldn't they? That'd be really funny. That'd be really funny.
Wissam has put in the chat that Matoma's out for the season. That's pretty good. Brighton's in a bad way right now. This is not the same Brighton. Yes, they're tough, but this is not the same Brighton team that has really terrorized large portions of the league. Over the past couple of seasons, not the same Brighton. Villa is going full Unai, so they're in a tailspin. Like, yeah, these are tough games, but these aren't games that as fans we should be scared of. Wolves away is the same way. They're a decent mid-table side. They're not great. They're okay.
I'll say this, right? If we beat City at the Etihad, I honestly think that could be the catalyst for us.
Yeah,
if we lose that game, I just think it's going to be a bit of a downward spiral. If we draw, it could be a bit of a meh, where we might end up second, and we might lose the league by a couple of points, maybe 3 points or something like that. But if we beat City, that could be so big because then Luton at home, Brighton away, Villa at home, Wolves away. I could then see us going on a run, particularly in the league, where we could end up, 14 games unbeaten going into the last 4 games of the season, potentially with a couple of points lead. maybe 3-point lead, 4-point lead, maybe.
Yeah, and that'll put pressure on the other two because they still have to do the same thing, you know?
Yeah, I could look really stupid by the end of the season saying this, but I will go on record saying I think both of you are overestimating Liverpool.
You think so?
I tell you what, Sean, I pray that you're right. Yeah, I honestly
do too.
I mean, I
think they're the favorites right now, honestly.
I just think the Klopp factor with him announcing his retirement has really just made them go schizo. Like, they've gone absolutely berserk. Like, it's just like, and you're right, because the goals that they're scoring and their XG, their expected XG, is like nowhere near where it should be.
Right.
Yeah, they're outscoring their XG by like a large amount. So I agree. Like, they're not as good as where they are on the table. But it's just that Klopp factor, man.
I think their defense is better than City's too.
I refuse to believe in his devil magic. But their defense, by the way, Wissam, it's a good point, but their defense is also outperforming.
Yeah, you think so?
By a substantial margin.
So you think it all collapsed? I really hope you're right, honestly.
I'm not going to say they collapse.
Okay.
I'm going to say I think they're probably more vulnerable to dropping points than you guys are characterizing it.
Okay.
And it's hard because, just like with us, you can say, oh, well, you know, we've got 10 games left. We're going to drop some points. But you'd be hard-pressed to tell me exactly where those points are coming from. And I could sit here and say, I think Liverpool's going to drop some points and still be hard-pressed to tell you exactly where those points will come from. I mean, that's just the nature of the game, right?
Right.
Right. I'll tell you where one game is. One game will be Chelsea. Chelsea at home will drop points.
You think so? We're going to tie?
Oh, my God, honestly.
Yeah,
I guarantee you, out of any game, that'll be the fucking game. The season where Chelsea, are in like 11th, man, we'll probably get a draw or something.
I'd hate that.
I would. But it's so awesome to do that, though.
Yeah, we have two London derbies back to back.
That's what I mean. We could literally go away to City and win, and then draw against Chelsea at home. That's the kind of like rubbish that would happen.
Yeah.
I
can see that too. I don't know what it is about Chelsea, but sometimes they turn up.
I mean, that's the nature of it. Yeah, mm-hmm. Chelsea is a weird team that way.
Mm-hmm.
They've drawn City twice, right? So. They can obviously turn up.
Yeah.
I don't think they will. I think we'll beat them at home. I obviously, Tottenham away, City away, those are the ones that will keep me up at night.
Man United away,
for real. Yeah, I was just about to say that.
For history purposes, yes, but I think that we're so much better than the United, I think we beat them this year.
I think
the issue that I have, though, is that United – They could have easily have beaten us at Emirates. We got lucky. That offside goal.
Yeah.
If Gabriel wasn't, if Gabriel was a hair follicle to his right, it would have been a goal.
But he's not, because that's how good he is.
Yeah, I know.
You're acting like that's luck. That's not luck.
No, he planned. He jumped back. That was amazing.
Yeah, look. Maybe Garnacho doesn't know his own speed. I don't know.
I'll say this, though. Do you feel like we're a better team than we were during that game?
Oh, definitely. Actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
Do we think United is better than they were that game? Because I don't.
No, I don't.
But having said that, once again, they've just beaten Liverpool in the cup. What does that do for their confidence? But we don't know, because obviously that game's finished now, and we got to wait, buddy, 2 weeks just to really find out. But we'll have to wait and see. If they do end up hitting their stride, I think they face Liverpool as well, man. You don't know? No, they're done. Ah, that would have been funny if they versed them in the league. Actually, no, they versed them in the league. They do verse them in the league.
Do they?
I think so.
Let me look at their schedule.
I can't believe we didn't have every team's schedule just sitting right in front of us.
What are we doing with our...
Real quick, though, before we get to that, and let's just finish off on this. Maybe we just won't touch on league news stuff because we don't know enough about it to talk about it necessarily.
Yeah, they face each other April 7th.
Oh, yes. Nice.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Go ahead.
You get to pick one.
Okay.
Premier League or Champions League? And I think we talked about this maybe at the beginning of the season. It'd be interesting to see if your priorities have changed. You can win one, but you got to give up the other.
I'm going to go Premier League only because I know if we get a Premier League this year, we're winning multiple trophies next year. That's definitely happening. So if we can just, I don't know, break the seal and just like just finally get a trophy to bring back home, I think next year we can actually make a run for a double or even a treble.
What do you think, Alex?
I'm going to go. Listen, I want the Champions League because I want to sit. I want to sit at that table.
Yeah, I understand that too. That's a really hard question.
I go back and forth on this one a lot. As of right now, I think Champions League.
Yeah, me too.
Can you imagine how much money Adidas makes on shirt sales once they get the star over it?
Here's the scenario that I'm trying to buy one. Yeah. Here's the scenario that I want to try and speak into existence, all right? It's a Champions League final. Arsenal versus PSG. Arsenal go and they win the Champions League. All of a sudden, Mbappe has a change of heart. He says, listen, I made a mistake.
London's not too cold.
This is what I'm... Yes.
You know, yeah, it's not, London's not too cold. You know what? I've seen the vision. I've looked into Mikel Arteta's eyes on the touchline. I can see what he's trying to do here. And I've decided I'm going to sign for Arsenal. And then that's when for the next 10 years, we just absolutely dominate. The dynasty happens. It's like, oh my God.
It's like, that'd be so amazing.
It's Sir Alex Ferguson 2.0, except, you know, it's Arteta and it's the Arsenal.
I can honestly see that happening.
It's been confirmed this morning that Cedric is leaving as a free agent. So we've got those wages freed up.
Oh, nice.
Thank God. Nice. And I think Elneny as well is going too. So we got some of that too.
And Ramsdale.
All right, that's at least 10% of the wages we need to sign him up.
Start a GoFundMe or something. I don't know.
With Arsenal fans, right, you might actually be able to raise that money.
maybe.
All right, that seems like a good enough place as any to end it.
Sounds good.
We'll be back talking about something. I'm not exactly sure when. We'll try and get something out next week, right? There'll be something to talk about.
Yeah.
Hopefully nothing bad. Hopefully good stuff to talk about, maybe some good friendly performances or maybe some good transfer links. We talked about wanting to get to some transfer links today and didn't. So maybe we'll save that for something next week. Anything with Sam or Alex before we get out of here?
No, that's it. That's cool. Cool place.
So good.
Mm-hmm. Not good. Good chatting, boys.
Yeah.
Very excited about international friendlies coming up. Gotten any that you're highlighting?
Nope.
No,
Brazil's in town, right? They're in Europe. They're going to be playing Spain and England. Even as a friendly, I feel like that's probably worth watching.
I do want to see Havertz score some more goals just to keep his fitness up with that.
That'd be nice. I'm sure I'll check out some of those games as well. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much for listening. Please give us a rating, a subscribe, a review. Send us some nice words. You can find us on Reddit. You can find us on various ones of us on Twitter. We're on Reddit at r/TheBlackStockTriangle. You can find us on Twitter at BlackStockPod. Alex is at King Kinsey. I, Sean, am at BlackStock, Sean B. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. We'll talk to you next time.